Good morning. I greet you again. I am delighted to be here, always delighted to be in the house of God, and always delighted to join with another American Baptist congregation, especially on this day, your 110th, as you celebrate your 110th anniversary as a ministry. That's an incredible, 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 faithful accomplishment. So I'm just grateful for that. And since I've already greeted you as I gave the plaque for the region, I just think it's preaching time. Is it okay? So it's preaching time. And
oh, I forgot to tell you, Maria.
Mm-hmm. We usually start at 10:30. We started at 10, so you would have a little extra time. You can preach to 1 o'clock. Okay. There you go.
You know, he's always trying to get me in trouble. I know better than that, but I tell you what, I want to preach what the Lord gave me for you today. I guarantee you it will not be until 1 o'clock. I'm glad that you moved it up, but I am a Baptist preacher and you're a Baptist congregation, and I know I don't want to tarry in between the food and the preaching. Because my mama didn't raise no fool. This ain't my first rodeo. And I can smell the food. So thank you very much for the consideration. But let us just see what God might have for us today that has been planted in my spirit for this anniversary. The text this morning that I'm going to use is a familiar one to many of you. It is the Gospel of Matthew, the 16th chapter, the 13th through the 20th verse is what I'm going to read. And I believe I saw it printed in your bulletin. Yeah, it is. On the back, it is printed in your bulletin. And so, but if you would allow me, can I read it? Is it okay? Do you usually all read it together? Okay, it's all right if I read it though? I can be at home, right? I can just be myself? Okay. All right, the Gospel of Matthew, the 16th chapter, the 13th through the 20th verse. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of this word. And I pray that we would understand what this word might mean for us today as we celebrate the 110th anniversary of this ministry. You know, there are two questions prominent in this text. Jesus is talking and teaching, and I know that it's very familiar a text, but Jesus has two questions. He says, asked of the disciples, it's like a pop quiz for them. Who do people say the Son of Man is? Who do people say the Son of Man is? And the second question is, but what about you, he asks, who do you say I am? For you students in the room, always remember as you're going back to school and when you're taking a test, read the questions carefully. Because sometimes the answer is in the question. And sometimes if you skim over the question, you don't put the right answer because you have missed a piece. Why do I say that? Because Jesus himself says, who do people say the Son of Man is? That means he's referring to his own self as the Son of Man. That's a key. But when he turns around to the disciples and he says to them, who do you say that I am? That's a whole different question. Because we tend to define Jesus by the way we encounter Jesus. The reason why Jesus has so many names, and Jesus has a lot of names in the Bible, doesn't he? You know, we have so many names for Jesus. And even as we pray, we have names for Jesus, Counselor. We call, you know, we have so many names, the Bright Morning Star. Because when we encounter Jesus, we name him in the way we encounter him. Let me explain a little deeper. I think, simply, if you meet Jesus and you were sick and Jesus healed you, you tend to think of Jesus as a healer. And you might call him my healer. But if you meet Jesus while you're in trouble, I know some of you have never been in trouble. But I myself have been in trouble a time or two. You know, even if it's just a parking ticket or you find yourself in the court of law or the court of your mama's kitchen, which is worse, Jesus can be your lawyer. And you will name Jesus your lawyer and your rescuer. Last week, I met a man in one of our churches. He was a Katrina survivor. And he told the story about how he couldn't swim. He's afraid of water. He's always been afraid of water. And when Katrina hit, he was caught in that storm and in that flood. Can you imagine? And couldn't swim. And there was no way out. And he said, and I just was preparing myself. He said, I just thought this is the end for me. There won't be another day. I'm going to meet Jesus today. And as he was praying, he said it was like this thought came into his head because his niece had been visiting, a little niece had been visiting a couple of months ago before, and she left a beach ball in his car. He was stuck in a car. And he, afraid of the water, afraid to get out, afraid to stay in, not knowing what to do, some kind of way got that beach ball out and blew it up and held on to that beach ball until some of his neighbors and people got to him. Oh, he met Jesus anew that day. And he tells me, I call Jesus my rescuer. And I said, amen to that. Because even though I can swim, I cannot imagine what it would mean to encounter that kind of strife. But we all encounter Jesus in different ways. We call him Lord and we call him Savior. But some of us have to call him Mama when Mama is gone. And some of us lean on him like a daddy when Daddy is gone. But I tell you, with all of the names that Jesus has, Peter proclaims boldly, you are the Messiah. Now, it's interesting that the disciples would, in fact, answer, who are the people saying he is? And if you notice, all of them people are dead. John the Baptist was gone. Elijah was gone. Jeremiah was gone. And even though John the Baptist was his contemporary, you know that famous line that I love from John, when he's in the wilderness and he's being held, he sends his disciples and said, go find out. Ask him, are you the one? Or should we look for another? Are you the one? Are you the Messiah? Are you the anointed one? Or should we look for another? Well, I tell you what, that answer is okay. Because we understand our scripture and we love our biblical history. But when Jesus turns to disciples and say, who do you say I am? Each of us must be prepared to say who Jesus is to us. We need to ask, what do you say he is? And Peter said, you are the Messiah, the son of a living God, not a God that is far off, not a God that is gone, not some pagan God. You are the Messiah, the son of the living God. And you know, that just makes me happy because I serve a living God. I serve a God who is still active in our life and in the community. I serve a God who causes me to have hope in the midst of struggle. Now, this movement in this text then goes quickly to Jesus saying to Peter, Peter, that answer is good. Let me give you the Muriel translation. He said, Peter, that answer was good, really good. In fact, it's the right answer. He said, but Peter, you didn't learn that in no book. And you didn't learn that at mama's knee. You didn't learn that any other way but by divine intervention. This is the Muriel translation. You learned that not by flesh and blood, but by the Spirit of God. You know, when you learn something, when you learn a lesson that God teaches you, now that's a lesson. because people can tell you things, and your teachers endeavor to educate you and tell you things, your parents, and even your experiences. But when God shows you something and reveals something to you, that's the something you can hold on for a lifetime. I know there's somebody here know what I'm talking about, because some of y'all been in church almost all of your life. Because you got revealed, God revealed to you that Jesus Christ loved you. And God revealed to you that he was a savior. And God revealed to you that you are all right with him. And you've hung on, haven't you? I'm hanging on. I'm hanging on to that. And so in this text, Jesus also says something else to Peter. And we know a lot about Peter. I love Peter. Peter is the kind of guy to just open his mouth, put his foot in. You know, that's Peter. Peter, and I have a little Peter in me. Impulsive. You know, I know God can handle things. You know what I mean? I know God has it in control. But every now and then, I'm like, Peter, I just want to help God just a little bit. You know, he's so busy. And sometimes I just want to put my two cents in just to help God. I'm not trying to, you know, control anything, so I tell myself. But I just want to help him. And so you see, when Jesus says to Peter, on this rock, Peter, on this rock, it's a play on words, because Peter's name in the ancient language, Cephas, rock, you're playing back and forth. On this rock, I will build my church. I will build my church, and Hades will not prevail against it. On this rock. And why is that so important? It's important because, first of all, that's one of the first times we see the word church, the ecclesia, in the New Testament. And what does ecclesia mean, church means? It means a called out people. It means a people who belong to God. And in New Testament time, people of the way, we say we are Christians, you know, and so, but we are called out. We are separate. We are different than any other organization or organism, for that matter, because we are called out people. And on this divine inspiration, this divine revelation that we are called out, we understand something about being a part of the body of Christ. You see, the membership that we're on, my grandma used to sing that song, write my name on the roll. That roll that we're on, I'm talking about that universal roll that we are on, that is a role, and the requirement for that membership is that you would know Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And that membership is not any other hoops and loops. That membership is not by how much money you make. That membership is not about your economic status. That membership is not about your color or your culture. That membership is not even about your geography and where you live. That membership is about your confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that membership is predicated on our baptism. Now, we're Baptists, though. You know we like that. We full dunk people. No sprinkling for us, right? We go down in that water and we come up in the water. And that is the only prerequisite for this membership. The identity of Jesus to us is clear. We claim it. We've heard it preached. But at the time of this text, you've got to understand they were using the words, but they didn't know what it meant really. At best, if you read the disciples all the way through, if you had to give them a grade, they C+. Again and again, Jesus has to teach them. Over and over again, Jesus has to pull parables. Jesus has to tell them more than once that he's going to be crucified and what's going to happen. But the disciples didn't fully understand. But we understand in a different way because we have the lens of history. We have this holy script inspired by God that is really a record of who God is, who Jesus Christ is, and the relationship of God's people with that God and how we have moved from place to place. But that question is still being asked today. That question in the contemporary church might sound something like this. Where do we see God now? How do we see God now? Where do we see Jesus at work? And where do we see our Jesus even in the midst, in the face of suffering and disease? What does it mean in concrete terms to proclaim the good news of Jesus as the Messiah in our community, at our jobs, in our nations? That ongoing confession that the Messiah, Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, is still our responsibility. And you know what? I'm glad that it's still our responsibility, because the greatest moment in my life was when I figured out that God loved me enough to send his only begotten son. I'm glad that God entered into history and made a way, set up a process that I could be cleansed of my sin. I'm glad that God loved me enough before I was even here to make a way for me to have a full and abundant life. Yes, I came today because it's your 110th anniversary. And yes, I'm preaching to a certain extent about the church and how it was set up. But I want to encourage you today, because you need to know that 110 years is a good thing. And there are many churches that are celebrating anniversaries, 100, 110, 100. But a true celebration of an anniversary of a church is able because a church has been faithful. You can celebrate the building. The church is not the building. The church are the people who have been a part of this ministry from the very foundation right up to the youngest one right now. We celebrate because you kept your hand to the plow. We celebrate because although the basements flood and you got to turn buildings around, and y'all have done some things I ain't even never heard of. I said, they did what? I read that in your history. I said, how you do that? But you have been faithful. There's a reason why. People, your prayer time is so precious. When I listen to you, every time I come here, I am just amazed. Not only how you pray for one another, I expect that, but how you lift up the names of people in the community, and how you bring names from your workplaces and put them before this church, and y'all keep praying for them. You see, that's faithful stuff. That's what it means to be a church. That's what it means. You see, the church is still here. Your church is still here because of your witness. Your church celebrates 110 years because you held on. You know, I'm a city girl. Only thing I knew about Adele was that song, The Farmer in the Dale. The Farmer in the Dale. The first time I came here, I said, wow, this is Adele. Woo! I mean, I knew what it was in my mind, and I had seen pictures, but in fact, I called my mom. I said, Mama, I went to one of my new churches that I'm serving in Area 4, and it's in a dale. And my mother said, you mean like the farmer in the dale? I said, yeah, just like that. A picturesque church sitting on a hill. You're still here. You're still here in the name of Jesus. You're still here in these confusing times. I do not care if you are Democratic or Republican. Quite frankly, because my hope is not in a political system. My hope is in Jesus Christ. But in these troubling times, you see, the church is still here. We're still here because we know who the Messiah is. We're still here because we are committed to being the Christians that God has called us to be. Are we perfect? Nah. Have we got it all figured out? No. But the church is still here. And unlike our text, which tells the disciples, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. That's not our job. Our job is to tell everybody. Tell everybody. Tell everybody that Jesus Christ is Lord. You see, in fact, as long as we are a confessing church that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, as long as we keep lifting up the name of Jesus, as long as we keep singing about joy bells ringing in our soul, we have to know that Jesus, who is the Son of Man, Jesus, who is the Son of the living God, Jesus, who rescues us, saves us, cleans us up, redeems us, liberates us, and wipes away our tears, not just when we get to heaven, y'all. He wipes my tears right now. here, my God is alive. I don't know about y'all. My God is a living God. My God sent his son that I might have life and have it abundantly. You see, it is troubling times. The world needs the church right now. Because if the church cannot live out the gospel of Jesus Christ, I said live it out. They don't hear, they, you know what they hear? Blah, 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 blah. When we start talking to them about Jesus, this is what they, some people in the world hear, blah, 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 blah. But when they see you feeding the hungry, when they see you collecting more Christmas boxes than any mega church I've ever seen, when they see the fact that you love your community, and when they see that you work hard to keep the name of Jesus lifted up, that's when they know who Jesus is. You might be his representation to someone who would never, ever cross foot into a church. But it is your witness. It is the way you live your life that says, my Jesus is the Messiah. And because of that, I'm going to do what needs to do. I know this was the word for you today. And I know why it was the word, because as I kept weaving on it and moving on it and saying, Lord, what would you have me to say to this lovely committed church in the Dell who has Steve for a pastor? Have mercy. What would you have me to say? And how can I preach in such a way that Steve would be blessed and the congregation would be blessed and that they could give honor to you? And the song that came up in my heart was, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but I wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. May the Lord bless you. And may the Lord keep you. Amen.